Meeting will come to order. Clerk will take the roll. Representative Rook of Unis should be reprimanded for those comments about cookies like that.
Mr. Chair certainly makes wonderful cookies. I thought he'd been sitting home for 2 years.
Wow. Oh, how dare you, Representative Rook of Unis. How dare you.
Mr. Chair.
I've
already had 2 of those cookies. I can tell you, I think we should refer this matter of Mr. Rukavina to the Ethics Committee.
He's got a place in
the front. All right. Well, with that, we will excuse you and take no further action. All right, members, I've got the minutes of the March 20th meeting in front of us. Are there any corrections, additions, changes to the minutes? Seeing none, Representative Hamilton moves approval of the minutes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, we have one item before us today, the budget resolution. Chair will move the KN-RES3 resolution. Members, this is the budget resolution that sets the maximum limit of net expenditures for the biennium. There's really 4 numbers you need to know. We've got $88 million in the budget surplus as of the last forecast. We've got $317 million in the tax relief account. We have $350 million in the cash flow account, $653 million in the budget reserve. This resolution proposes to stay where we were with cash flow account, $350 million. Stay where we were or have been in the budget reserve, $653 million. Proposes to spend a net of $88 million, the surplus money that is sort of not included in the tax relief account, in various budget items that will be coming forward with the target resolution when we get to that in a week or two. And it proposes to transfer the $317 million out of the tax relief account into the general fund and not spend any of that. So it would either be available for tax relief or would be available to just sit on the bottom line as a contingency fund for the health impact fee case or whatever else might come along. So when you look at your resolution, the RES-3, the $228 million is basically the $88 million of additional spending minus the $316.7 million of the tax relief account. Members, I should mention that $88 million is a net number. So, for example, in the Public Safety Committee, for example, we have about $14.6 million that we are under in terms of estimated spending on prison beds for the biennium because we've just had fewer bed costs than expected. Leaving everything aside, you could spend $88 million plus $14.6 on something else, and it would be netted out by that other $14.6 of savings we have. And so you're spending $88, but you're really spending like $103 in terms of other new expenditures. And that's the same thing for any other budget savings or TANF refinancings or so forth that you could do as well. Members, as I look at this, I think that this $88 million is sufficient with the other monies that would be available from some of those other sources I mentioned, like the prison beds, to meet the needs that are emergency-type needs that we have in the second year of the biennium when we are not normally passing a new budget. I think this also puts us in a position where we can do some tax cuts, but also leave a substantial amount available for the contingency if we lose the health impact fee lawsuit. That's my reasoning on the budget resolution. The whole issue of targets and so forth will, of course, come to this committee underneath a different resolution probably next week or the following week. Members of that, I'd stand for questions. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, when you say it's going to be reserved or held on the bottom line, but you did reference, you said something like some of it may be used for property tax relief. Could you expand on what your thoughts are there? Because I've heard many legislators have commented that with what's happened in property taxes in recent years, that property tax relief should be a priority, and from your comment, I'm left with the impression then that perhaps very little would be done in the area of property tax relief. What are your thoughts there?
Sure, Representative Carlson. First, I do support some property tax relief. I think that's important. We could spend the whole $317 million on tax relief if we chose underneath this as is written. How exactly we divvy that up will be a matter for the targets resolution potentially. But I guess in regard to property tax relief, it kind of depends on what relief you want. If we're talking about actually taking money and put it into local government aid, for example, or some sort of property tax refund program, that would actually be spending. That would be something we'd have to talk about as part of the targets resolution. If we wanted to, say, not have as many discretionary levies in the school districts as we've had, and say the state's going to take those over dollar for dollar instead, that is actually something that is outside of this biennium. Basically, the way the cash flow works, all of that property tax relief would be in the next biennium. You could show it on your November TNT notices as taxpayer relief, but in terms of it actually being scored against the budget, the money actually goes out in the next biennium, so you wouldn't need to spend any money in this biennium if you're going to do that. So it depends a little bit on what kind of property tax relief you're talking about.
But yeah, and I understand that there are a variety of ways that we can approach it, but bottom line is the number of dollars that we would choose to put in this biennium. And you know, it's just an extremely important issue, and I'm not sure what these numbers are telling us then when you say property tax relief, some spending.
I guess what I would say, Representative Carlson, is that you certainly would have money available for a significant amount of property tax relief in the resolution as it stands now, depending on what type of relief you wanted. That would be my opinion.
And I'm picking up on your comments, Mr. Chairman, where you seem to kind of, at least in my opinion, downplay the amount that might go for property tax relief when you said some might be available. On our side, the aisle, property tax relief is an important issue, and I guess we would be open to different approaches to do it. You could buy down school aids. You could provide aid to cities. As you point out, there are different things that you obviously could do to address it, but we're concerned, at least I am when I look at these numbers, that we may not be putting the priority there that some of us think we should. Mr. Chairman, maybe I could ask about some of the other parts of the budget then. When you say $88 million for spending, that's about $108 million below the governor's number, and I'm not sure when I say that where that 14.6 plays in terms of how the governor calculated that, but assuming that he calculated that in, we'd be that $109 million below the governor in spending, which when we talked about some of the other states' needs, especially when I look at the governor's numbers and what you're putting in, what's needed in the area of health care, what's needed in the area of public safety, for example, what you may ultimately do on the capital expenditure side, being that the main appropriations bill this session is the capital investment bill that you're very familiar with, having chaired that committee prior to being here. And can you give us any feeling for what you're going to do in the areas of education, health care, capital investment for debt service? Recognizing that, you know, the actual targets will be coming forward, but I have to say that I'm concerned, and maybe other members from our side of the aisle speak to the issues of, you know, the needs in education and healthcare and so on. But maybe we could start with what your thinking is with capital investment in terms of what size a bonding bill you'd be looking at funding.
Sure. Let me first say, going back to the property tax issue, Representative Carlson, I think that this resolution leaves open to a pretty much unlimited extent how much property tax relief we would want to do or could do. If you take the approach of saying we're going to, say, for example, on the discretionary levies with schools do a dollar-for-dollar exchange and take away some of the levy authority and backfill that, you could do an unlimited amount of that theoretically underneath this bill, leaving aside the whole question of whether that's wise in terms of your tails and future obligations. But underneath this resolution, all of that money would fall outside of this resolution in fiscal year 08. And so there would be no limitation to the amount of property tax relief you could do by this resolution for at least that kind of relief. If you're looking at other kinds of relief, there would be potentially somewhat more restriction, but I guess suffice it to say that there are avenues for very significant property tax relief available with this resolution. In regard to bonding, you know, the way the bonding bill works with the general fund, it doesn't have a real large impact on the budget resolution in this year's general fund. For example, the governor's proposal had about $11.1 million of general fund spending in his bonding bill. And if you wanted to increase the bonding bill by $100 million of borrowing this year, it would, I think, only cost you about an additional $1 million out of the general fund. And so the big bill comes in the future payments in the next biennium. So in terms of the $88 million, we have not come up with a figure we're proposing as a caucus yet for the bonding bill. And, you know, given the fact that $1 million buys you that much, it's not a really important number within the $88 million.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, I had heard a higher number, something like $7 million, to get it at least to $990, which maybe Mr. Marks knows of.
Representative Felsen, I could stand corrected. I don't think it's that much. But Mr. Marks, do you know the answer to that?
I heard that it's about, well, let's wait and see what he tells us, because I was hearing seven and then about a tenfold the first year of the next biennium because of the way we retire the bonds at about $77
million. But. Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, for a $990 million bill with debt service this biennium, I have it at $7.7 million.
Okay, that was my recollection.
Debt service only.
To get to $990.
Yeah. Excuse me, but Mr. Marks, that's $7.7 million over the forecast, correct?
Correct. Right.
And the governor's bonding bill is already, Representative Carlson, substantially over the forecast. And so I don't recall the exact number of the governor's bonding bill, but I'm guessing that it's $4 or $5 million of general fund spending over the forecast.
Mr. Chair, 4.3.
4.3
in bonding.
Okay, or in debt service for bonding.
Okay. So I guess what I'm asking essentially, though, is what is your thought in terms of the size of the bonding bill, whether it's your number or the some other number? What are we going to look at in terms of a bonding bill? I think there are people here that are interested in that, being that it's our...
Well, I would tell you, Representative Carlson, that my thought and the thought of the majority of my caucus might be different. But we haven't truly settled in a number. I haven't truly settled in a number. I guess as we put this forward, you know, spending $88 million and not having set the targets yet, you have plenty of room within the $88 million to accommodate an additional $1 million or $2 million of debt service if you need it for a larger bonding bill. That's the decision of what you want or not. It's, you know, such a small number in the whole scheme of things that it's not important, in my view, to the vote on this resolution. That'll be an issue, I think, that, you know, is certainly talked about when we bring the targets resolution forward.
Yeah, I'll, Mr. Chairman, I may have another question or two, but I think there may be others that have questions, so I'll stop at this point.
Sure. The other thing, I guess, if I can comment on the healthcare area you raised, is this doesn't, of course, set anything for the healthcare access fund. There's no limit, of course, set in this for that. And the governor, of course, has proposed significant spending out of the healthcare access fund, and that's an item that we could talk about setting a limit to as part of the targets resolution. And I guess that'll be a topic of discussion, but that, again, is not covered. Spending out of that healthcare access fund is not covered by this resolution. Representative Huntley.
Well, Mr. Chair, you sort of answered my question, but that means that the Last week when we heard from Commissioner Ingerson, she talked about the initiatives on avian flu, mental health, the governor's mental health initiative, University of Mayo, Bioscience Partnership, Health Information Technology, all those things that were getting part of their money from the Healthcare Access Fund. And some of those were getting part of their money from the general fund. So the general fund number could affect at least some of those.
Well, Representative Huntley, the governor's proposal spent, I believe, about half of these $122 million surplus in the Healthcare Access Fund. The way the rules are structured, we first set the general fund target overall in this budget resolution, and then we go on to individual targets for individual committees and other funds like Healthcare Access Fund if we want. We could propose to spend the whole $122 million on healthcare things if people wanted to and still live within the confines of this resolution. Or we could spend none of it. That's, you know, because it's not a general fund item, it's not really covered by this. But I'm not sure if your concern is that we spend more of it or less of it. I guess I'm just saying that that issue is kind of not really covered by this budget resolution.
Well, Mr. Chair, that money all came from the provider tax, or most of it came from the provider tax, and when this was sold to the general public, it was sold as a program and a tax that would fund Minnesota Care, which is a health insurance program for people that don't get, working folks that don't get health insurance where they work. And if we start to funnel this money out of this fund, then we'll be unable to restore all the benefit cuts we gave to those people in the last 3 years. And I will say we've, over the last 3 years, already removed $550 million out of that fund to spend on general fund items. So the idea in which we sold Minnesota Care and its tax to the public has been seriously violated in the past, and I would hope that we don't continue to do that in the future.
Well, again, Representative Huntley, I would say this resolution doesn't really cover that issue or propose to spend any of that money from that health care access fund. Representative Dempsey, then Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you explain for me the
everything else is
the tax relief account and how much money is in that account for tax relief, and is there a probability of that being spent for that purpose?
Representative Dempsey, there is $316,716,000 in that account.
Okay.
That is the amount of money that was left over as surplus at the end of the last biennium, June 30th, 2005. And we have a law that says whatever is left over goes into the tax relief account. And underneath this resolution, that entire amount would be available for tax relief, although we wouldn't necessarily be required to spend it all on tax relief.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And when you talk about tax relief, I think the primary concern that I would have has to do with property tax. And basically the property tax that I'm talking about is on homes. Okay? And how might that amount of money... let me ask the question this way. About how much tax relief account money would be needed over the $316 million to make a significant tax reduction in home taxes on residents?
Oh, Representative Dempsey, I think it probably depends on what your definition of significant is. I guess I think you could have, you know, myself a significant reduction and not use all $317 million. But again, it all depends on your definition of that. Representative Vandeveer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm starting to agree with Representative Huntley, Mr. Chair, but well, I almost wish I hadn't agreed to vote for this already, but I guess I did, so. Oh, well.
Thank you for your words of confidence, Representative Vandeveer. Any other discussion? Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley brings up a good point. You mentioned, you know, $14.6 million that could be available that's not really counted in here. And I'm wondering if Representative Huntley brought up the Healthcare Access Fund, which you've accessed in the past with significant deductions in that fund. Is there any? Are there any other fees that you're anticipating as chair of Ways and Means that are built into this budget that are outside the general fund, and any fees that are going to be increased or implemented? And then I've got a question on the tobacco fee itself. So,
well, Representative Rukavina, off the top of my head, no. Actually, in fact, I talked to Mr. Marks about whether it would be possible for us to do something on that fee issue, but the way we have our rules constructed, to make a long story short, the fees are sort of outside of the rules. And so I don't know that we can set a target under the rules that says no fees. But I would certainly like to stay away from any additional fees.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Rukavina,
you write the rules, so can't you write the rules to make sure that you can't write new fees?
Representative Rukavina, I think next time we bring the rules up on the House floor, that might be a good idea.
I want to, but Mr. Chair, I do want to get at this, at the tax relief account that Representative Dempsey was asking about, and just so I understand it, I mean, I believe that you're probably leaving that significant amount of money in there to try to address a decision by the tax court should they rule in favor and uphold the lower district court's finding that the tax was illegal, or the fee was illegal because it's really a tax and we can't implement a fee with the agreement we had with the tobacco settlement. So, but the way the resolution works, maybe you or Mr. Marks could help me. Would this $316 million be available to play with in the tax committee's target? Or would that then be set, like you said, in a couple weeks, and that number may be reduced, that tax relief really doesn't mean tax reduction, and that we'll maybe only have 80 of this or 50 million of this, and we'll be setting the rest aside to in case there's a negative decision by this the courts, Supreme Court? Or does it actually mean that when we move forward and Representative Krinke is doing the tax bill, if there is one, that we can take a Milwaukee grinder to this, you know, instead of sanding the truth, we can take a Milwaukee grinder again, as I said, and we can play with this $360 million in the tax bill to actually offers property tax reductions to our constituents, as an example.
Mr. Marks, do you want to take that one?
Mr. Chair, the rules require that the resolution limits net spending. The tradition has been that net spending is spending minus changes in non-tax revenue. So the number here in the resolution is essentially the spending and the non-tax revenue changes. The $316 million is left then as a balance, and that's why the language on here says it's available for tax reductions or for not being spent at all. Because the resolution doesn't require it to be, I shouldn't say spent, but not required to be, the resolution doesn't require it to be used for tax reductions or not to not be spent, but the resolution would limit it, or would say it's not available to be spent on the spending type side of the equation. The resolution makes it available for tax reductions, or
so. Mr. Chair and Mr. Marks, so is spending on local government aid, let's say, or increasing the homestead credit or whatever you want to call it, is counted as spending, so you couldn't spend this money to reduce taxes because it's spending. Is that what you're telling me?
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, it would not be available for spending for local government aid or for education aid, for example. But Representative Knobloch has also made the point that if you are attempting to lower property taxes, that spending is most likely going to be outside the biennium. You would be lowering pay 2007 property taxes, and the aid we would pay to school districts or to cities and counties would not occur until fiscal 2008. So, for the most part, property tax relief, if it's done in this session, is going to be outside the scope of the resolution, because the resolution only limits this biennium, fiscal 2006 and 2007. And unless you design what I'd say would be an unusual type of property tax relief, unless you attempted to change pay 2006 taxes, it would be outside the scope of the resolution.
Well, let's just say as a hypothetical that I wanted to send everybody a check before election time in the 6th Congressional District and call it the Jim Knobloch, Phil Krenke tax reduction check. Or just to Phil Krenke.
Jim Knobloch part of that'll survive the tax committee.
And then that would be spending, and that would be then unavailable for tax reduction according to our rules and the way that you're interpreting them. We could not take and say we're giving every homeowner with a $100,000 valued home $50 or $100 to reduce it, and we're giving everybody with $100 and we couldn't do that before November 5th in this biennium, or when is the election?
Mr. Mark? Mr. Chair and Representative Rukavina, under the traditional way of doing things, probably not. However, let me add to that that the rebates that were designed a few years back were done as revenue reductions rather than spending programs. And there are points in here where you get into kind of gray areas, and I would not say it couldn't be done.
Mr. Chair, then
Representative Rukavina.
Mr. Marks, will you work with me on the Tommy Rukavina homestead property tax reduction and stay within the budget?
Mr. Marks. Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina, I suspect there may be ways to design it. When I pointed out that there have been rebates done in previous years, they were done as reductions of sales tax or income tax, and then designed to reduce a portion of the property taxes being paid. There may be ways to do it. The traditional way to do property tax relief will be outside the biennium and would not be limited by the resolution either.
So, Representative Rukavina, will the Tommy Rukavina tax relief go into the 6th District?
I see smoke coming out of your you're thinking over there.
Representative Carlson.
Sure, just so we're clear on this point, and that's why I was picking up earlier than with what Ms. Martin's just explained. If we did want to do something in the form of property tax relief this year, the resolution, until we get into the conference committee, puts it out of our reach. We would not be able to do it, or we would be able to. So I want to be clear on that.
No, Representative Carlson, I think it's very clear that you could do property tax relief. You could do property tax relief in the traditional sense, as Mr. Marks was talking about, that will fall into the next biennium in terms of when the actual check leaves the state, but people would next year have their property taxes cut. For calendar year 2007, people would receive a property tax cut. It's just that it would not show up on our books in FY07. It would show up in fiscal year 08. If you wanted to do a check going out to people before the election, the Rukavina tax cut, I think there are ways you could probably do that with the $317 million underneath this resolution. If you wanted to spend $300 million on local government aid, I think that would be more difficult to do, because that would be a spending program.
I want to make sure then that the way you're interpreting it, that that money would be available for some type of program that would fit within those guidelines, checks going out or whatever, that this resolution does not put it out of the reach of the tax committee to do that if you give that or give them a number in their target.
It would be my opinion, Representative Carlson, that this...
We'll still be able to give them a number, in other words, out of the 316 if we chose to. Is that...
I guess, Mr. Marks, do you want to...
Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, it might be difficult to do it out of the 316. That's where I guess I would say that to do a payment to a local government, for example, or to do a payment to a school district out of the 316, payments in the traditional way would not be allowed under the resolution. To lower pay 2007 property taxes, the state aid payments to school districts or local governments is going to be outside the biennium and not limited by the resolution. If you're trying to give additional payments to school districts within this biennium or in local governments, the resolution wouldn't allow that out of the 316 because it would be spending. Where I was suggesting there may be some way to do it is the kind of tax relief that was done in 1999, 2000, where they were rebates. They were designed as rebates of income or sales taxes, and I think one of them was linked a little bit to the property taxes. So there may be a way to design something as a revenue reduction instead of a spending item.
I think the long and short of Representative Carlson is there are ways to do some property tax relief within this resolution. Representative, thank you.
Well, I think we should all step back here and take a little look at the, first of all, I think for anyone who's been around the process for more than a couple of years understands that we currently buy down property taxes by about $3 billion a biennium, and I haven't noticed that anyone is rushing to us to congratulate us on holding down their property taxes. So even if the entire $317 million was rebated, as Representative Rukavina is talking about, it would amount to a pretty small amount of money when you spread it throughout the state. And I can guarantee you from past experiences, at least from my view over the process, is that the local units of government, the cities, the counties, and school districts will levy that back many-fold in the next year. And Representative Abrams, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the 2001 tax bill, which has had lots of airing over the last 4 to 5 years about what it did or didn't do, we reduced property taxes statewide by about 20%. And within a matter of 2 years, cities, counties, and school districts levied that all back. So if anyone thinks that you're going to get any political credit or any gain in the upcoming election by trying to lower property taxes and pay 2007 by expending $300 million, I think you're sadly mistaken. So if someone, and I'm certainly willing to entertain any and all proposals that will reform property taxes, but one-time payments, one-time buy-downs, one-time feel-good, I don't think it's going to do much. Because, as I said, I've learned in the 15 years here that whatever we do with property taxes, local units of government continue to increase taxes and blame us for what happens at the local units. So if somebody's got a different way to approach it, I'm all for it. But I think the 2001 experience, if you would perhaps comment, Representative Abrams, proved that no matter what we do at the state level, the local units of government will continue to increase property taxes and will continue to blame all of us, not Republicans, Democrats, metro, rural members. They're just going to blame us for those tax increases and say, hey, folks, don't talk to us. Go talk to your legislator. They're the ones who raised your property taxes. So good luck in trying to put a different spin on it because, as I said, I think the 2001 tax bill proved that if we lower them, they'll levy it right back, and they'll come to you, Representative Rukavina, and say, why'd you raise my property taxes?
Representative Greiling, then Earhart. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Prinke, I don't think it's quite that simple for the school funding, because when we don't fund the schools, then they have to make up for it, and I think the same is true for the counties and the cities. But last year, in the bill that we took credit for with how much money we gave to schools, the $800 million, $139 million of that was property tax increases. And so I don't know how we can blame them for raising property taxes when we crowed about an amount of money that included property taxes. But my question, Mr. Chair, is of that $139 million, is there, with this resolution, is there any way to buy back any of those levies with state money, or is that outside of what this would be able to count?
Representative Greiling, you could buy back every dime of the $139 million and have it not affect this resolution whatsoever, because all of that spending would be outside of this biennium, and this resolution only applies through June 30th, 2007. Representative Earhart.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to mention to Representative Prinke, when he says the public blames us, I think the public would blame the tax chair we have. I think that's more appropriate.
All right. Any other discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, maybe before we vote, I just want to comment, with what we've got before us, we really have absolutely no idea, other than the $88 million, then, in terms of how you would address even the governor's recommendations. You're 100 and some million below that, so we don't know what, from our perspective, the outcome is going to be with the K-12 funding. You've talked a little bit about perhaps using some of the access fund for Minnesota Care for health care, but that raises a different set of issues in terms of what that money was for and what the intent of it was for. I see little in the area of other key areas of the budget, public safety. We did have a discussion on the capital expenditures. If we wanted to truly get a bill, and I've been part of some of the hearings on that, would bring us to the self-imposed limit of 3%, or what I call then the 990. We don't know whether that's going to be available to us. We're really in a situation where we're buying a pig in the poke here. We really don't know even how that $88 million is going to be spread across all of those very important accounts. And I guess what I'm saying is that the general public has told us that they want improvements in educational opportunity, they want improvements in health care, they want things done in the area of public safety. There's been issues in Minneapolis of late in terms of the need of police officers and some of the things that have happened with the shortage of police officers. So public safety in a variety of ways remains a very big and important issue. And I think some of us would like to do some things in transportation that need to be addressed. So I guess I would welcome Mr. Vanderveer's changing of heart, and maybe with voting with some of us, if he's still over there. No, he left. About his concerns or his earlier commitments. But at any rate, I would urge a no vote on this simply because we don't know what those targets are going to be.
Representative Rukavina.
Well, Mr. Chair, I look at all these numbers and I think back to my first few years in the legislature, and Rudy Perpich had a rainy day fund, and there's a few of us left around here, Representative Osmond and Representative Anderson and Representative Clark and Representative Carlson are about the only ones I see, and Representative Abrams came a couple of years later. And I remember Steve Swigum and Bill Schreiber and Terry Dempsey used to sit over there, and they'd say, why don't you give that money back to the taxpayers? It's a rainy day fund. What do we need a rainy day fund for? Give it back to the taxpayers. That belongs to the taxpayers. Well, now I look, and we got a cash flow account that could be a rainy day fund and a budget reserve that could be a rainy day fund. But the tax reduction one is the one that bothers me, because all it would take for us to be able to at least use $300 million plus to give some tax relief or education for our kids, or maybe even help my mom in the nursing home and take her $2,000 a year fee off, would be for you folks to call a fee tax. And you know, there's been a lot of talk about here, around here last few days about embellishing and sanding. You know, I talk about Milwaukee grinder, you know.
Grinding.
Yeah, grinding. I mean, you guys are grinding the truth. You're taking 30 grit sandpaper. I mean, you know, I mean, call a tax a tax. It solves that problem, and we could take $320 million almost and give property tax relief or help some kids in the school districts or, you know, help Ma and Grandma in the nursing home or maybe even help the Ordway Theater have some new tabletops from the Iron Range. I don't know what, but, you know, by the way, Representative Abrams, the Ordway is buying tabletops from the Iron Age. I want you to know that. Better not tell that. That could get kiboshed. But anyway, why don't we do that? Why don't we just call a tax, solve that problem at the court system, and then you folks, we could do what you wanted us to do years ago. The heck with building up this rainy day fund. Let's give the taxpayers back their money.
Well, Representative Rukavina, I wasn't here years ago like that, and I guess this money is potentially available for what you want it to be available for anyway. So that's the debate we'll have as far as whether we do property tax relief, and if so, how much. I suspect we'll do some. How we do it, that's the debate that we'll have, and some of this money will certainly be available for it. Representative Carlson, going back to your points, you know, this is the process we have in rules that we've had for a number of years. We set the resolution in terms of just the overall spending level, which I think is a reasonable thing to do, and say, well, you know, here we've got $88 million of surplus, $317 million that was put toward the tax relief account. I guess the question is, should we spend some of the money that was set aside for the tax relief account and have additional spending? Should we not spend as much of the $88 million and maybe cut taxes some more? Those are kind of the issues we're debating here. And the target resolution is really the resolution that you're speaking to, and we'll have that before us soon enough. So appreciate your comments. Those are the rules, the way we have it. And so that's why we're presenting it this way. Representative Gorman.
Thank you, Chairman Knobloch. What happens if, say, April 15th, or I don't know when the Supreme Court's supposed to meet, but they give us an expedited ruling and they say, you know what, it's fine, we win. What happens? Where are those dollars at now that we've, where do we put them? What can we do with them?
Representative Gorman, right now, this,
assuming this passes,
this doesn't specifically address that situation, but we would have all this money. Let's say we wouldn't have a contingent liability of some kind. Underneath this, we're saying the $317 million that is dedicated by law to the tax relief account would still be available for tax relief.
But, Mr. Chair,
without
another budget resolution, we couldn't have additional general fund spending. Unless it was, of course, agreed to as part of the conference committee, and we say, oops, I guess we were wrong, and just do it.
Representative Dorman, I believe the answer to that is yes. Any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, I'll renew my motion that the KM-RES3 resolution be passed. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The resolution is passed. Members, there being no further work before the committee. I'm sorry, Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair, I had a question for Representative Bradley, if I could ask him. I've heard there's some event tonight, and I was wondering, am I mistaken? Where would that be, and how do you get there?
Representative Bradley, the following is a paid advertisement.
Your payment will be of the experience of your lifetime. It will be across the pond over here, over at the Armory Building. 500 people from Rochester want to entertain you, feed you, and give you a good time. And thank you for the plug. I'll try to return it next week for you, too.
Attend Rochester Days, members. With that, meeting is adjourned.